You're listening to Longwoods Radio, your healthcare source for ideas, new policies, and best practices. In May of 2008, Sunnybrook Health Sciences Center and the Quality Healthcare Network brought you the Patient Safety Leadership Walkarounds with a focus on how organizations are enhancing patient safety culture. Let's listen in right now to part one as Kathy O'Neill and Guna Bedrovic speak, introduced by Dr. Barry McClellan.
Good morning, everyone. I think we should get started. There may be a few people that will be trickling in because we're starting right on the hour of 9 o'clock here. My name is Barry McClellan, and I'm the president and CEO here at Sunnybrook, and it's my pleasure to welcome you here this morning. Sunnybrook is delighted to be hosting this very important event. As you're aware, this open house is focusing on patient safety leadership walkarounds, and this is a very timely topic for all organizations. In a moment, I'm going to talk about some of my own personal experiences just briefly with the walkarounds and how strongly I support these and how important that message is throughout this organization. And for Sunnybrook, the concept of the walkarounds fits very well with one of our corporate goals, which is to lead in safety best practices. Patient safety in general, and quite frankly, the issue extending to staff safety as well, is one that is very important to all of us, and the walkarounds are certainly one very important way of communicating that from the senior leadership right down to the staff level. Now, since the introduction of walkarounds at Sunnybrook, senior leaders have had an opportunity to visit 34 of the different units, clinical and non-clinical. We've had a variety of different recommendations that have arisen from those walkarounds. It's a great opportunity to learn from staff not only some of the specific areas that they may wish to highlight during the walkaround itself, but a great way to learn about the culture, their impressions of the culture, their impressionness of openness and disclosure. And I'm convinced that in the walkarounds that I've participated in, that I think I learn as much as what we're able to take away from the actual walkaround and change in order to improve safety in the organization. So I've had an opportunity to participate firsthand in 5 different walkarounds. I found them to be very interesting. And I'm just going to take one example, and I'm going to take it as an example of something that might seem very, very minor. And when we're dealing with prevention, it's one of those things that it's hard to quantify at a prevention level what difference we make, because you can't measure something that's not going to occur in future. But something that might seem very minor during one of the walkarounds was when we were learning from staff that on an orthopedic unit, they had a very particular concern about a shower unit that they were taking patients in and out of, a small little lip that they were concerned about when they were taking wheelchairs over, and the fact that they'd noticed that patients had almost been tipping forward at the time. And I must admit, this was one of these times where we had to leave the room and go right out and take a look at it to get a visual to go with it. And in doing so, it was obvious that this was, quite frankly, a future recipe for disaster. This was something where someone could very easily become injured in future. And through a very minor modification and the least of effort, we were able to make a change. And I'm convinced that had we not held the walk around, had we not had the discussion, that wouldn't have been raised, and quite frankly, it wouldn't have been changed as quickly as it was. So I raise that as one example of something that might appear very small, but differences like that can make a big change to our safety culture in future. Now, today, you're very fortunate to have some excellent presenters who bring experiences from a variety of different backgrounds. The program today looks outstanding, and what a great opportunity to learn from one another and to be able to share experiences, because that certainly is the way that we learn how to do things better in future. So I am going to turn things over in a moment to Janet, but before I do so, I wish you the very best for a very productive day here. Again, we're delighted to be hosting this event, and I look forward to hearing back from our staff who are attending as to some of the takeaway points, because we all can do this better in future, and it's through these sorts of sessions that we learn how to do things better in future. So I'm now going to turn things over to Janet Harris. Janet's going to be moderating today. Janet, as you're likely aware, is Vice President at Rouge Valley Hospital. And Janet, I'll turn things over to you and have a great day.
Thank you so much, Barry. Everything we've learned about the culture of safety stresses the importance of support from the top. So I think it's very fitting and wonderful that the CEO, President and CEO of Sunnybrook is here to introduce the topic this morning. So thanks again, Barry. We appreciate it, and we'll, your staff will report back on all our activities.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks, Barry. Okay, thank you, everybody, and welcome. I know you've come from all over the province, and it's just great to have you here. How many have been to a Quality Health Network workshop of this kind before? Just some, maybe half? Good. Well, then you know, and those who are here for the first time to a workshop, network workshop, it's fairly informal, although this is a lecture theater makes you think of school or something, but we will be quite informal. Our speakers are delightful and knowledgeable and have lots to share. We, as you may see from the agenda, we have six speakers. We will hear three this morning before 10 o'clock. We will then ask for your questions and input and comments. Then we'll have a break, and then three more speakers. We should be finished around 11:30, maybe 12. It's you know, depending on the amount of questions from the audience. You'll notice you have two clocks here, both of which are wrong. Don't worry, we won't get all mixed up and keep you here till midnight. I have the master time, and I'm the moderator. I'll make sure we stick to it. So I think what I also wanted to bring greetings from Cynthia Majewski, who's the ED of the network. She's in Italy, poor soul, on a family holiday, and so she has asked me to be our moderator this morning. I take great pleasure in introducing all of our speakers. Our first ones from Sunnybrook are Kathy O'Neill and Gunnar. You're speaking as well?
Yes.
Okay. Both of you will come, I think, to the podium. Kathy is the patient safety specialist, and Gunnar is the performance improvement specialist at Sunnybrook, and they'll be talking about their experience with the safety leadership walkabouts.
Thank you, Janet, and good morning, everyone, and welcome once again. As we were planning this open house session today, we certainly recognize that all of the participating hospitals have developed their own unique model for walkarounds. However, despite these differences, we're certainly all trying to achieve the same goal, and that is to improve the safety of our patients. Therefore, my job for the next 5 minutes is to just provide you with a basic overview of the concept of walkarounds, from which the six organizations will then be able to share their experience of patient safety walkarounds with you. I think it's fair to say that all of us here this morning share a common goal, and that is to build safer hospitals within which we can actually provide safer care to our patients. There are many theories, tools, and initiatives that can help us achieve that common goal. Many of them, and most of them actually, in fact, fall under these three key elements that have been described in the literature as the key ingredients to building a culture of safety, along with also building safer hospitals. And they include fostering a culture of safety, along with applying the principles of reliable design to our systems and our processes within our healthcare organizations, as well as the development of appropriate measurement tools to track our improvements in patient safety and sometimes perhaps lack thereof. The concept of patient safety walk-arounds is one that certainly fits under the key ingredient of a culture of safety. As in its essence, it provides a unique opportunity to lay that foundation for a safe culture. They do this by connecting frontline staff with senior leaders in an open dialogue around patient safety. They also allow frontline staff to express their concerns about patient safety with senior leaders and hopefully have some action taken to remove the barriers to safe care and therefore improve the systems of care. Walk-arounds have actually been a concept that's been around for quite some time outside of healthcare and in other highly reliable industries such as the nuclear power plants, aviation, and air traffic control. The evolution of the walk-around concept into healthcare was adopted by Dr. Alan Frankel, who is from Brigham and Women's in Boston, Massachusetts. And he, in fact, took this healthcare tool that wasn't sort of appropriate yet for healthcare and adopted it into a tool that was then workable within the healthcare organization. And since its adoption in 2000 in his hospital in Boston, it has actually spread across into 400 other hospitals across the United States and is certainly being recognized as best practice here in Canada, which I think is certainly evidenced by all of us being here this morning. Dr. Frankel's vision for walk-arounds as it was early developed was certainly not only for it to be a tool that would connect senior leadership to patient safety and inculcate patient safety ideas into the healthcare system, but that would also be a forum or a venue for improving patient safety through the proactive resolution of safety concerns expressed by frontline staff, and also fostering trust and communication between frontline staff and senior leaders, as well as within the organization as a whole. There are certainly some key objectives that the walk-arounds concept aim to achieve, and these are just four key ones, and they're certainly not limited to those, as I think all of us have probably adjusted these to suit our own needs. However, these are the four that I'd like to sort of bring out as being the prevalent ones, and that is certainly number one, increasing awareness of patient safety issues and making patient safety more visible across the entire organization and with all healthcare professionals and senior leaders. Certainly, it's an objective to ensure that staff see that the senior leaders are engaging in patient safety and that it is a high priority for them, as well as it's a great opportunity to educate staff about patient safety concepts, especially things like what is a just culture, what's the importance of reporting adverse events and near misses without fear of punishment, along with introducing the principles of systems-based thinking across the organization. And lastly, it's certainly a forum and an objective to find out what are those patient safety issues or those barriers to safe care that frontline staff face on a day-to-day basis, and what can the senior leaders do to remove those barriers and ultimately improve the safety of our patients. As you'll hear this morning, certainly there are multiple iterations and versions of the way that you can do walk-arounds. And there's certainly no right way to do these. I think what you'll hear this morning is that we've all gone off in our own journeys and found a model or a way of conducting walk-arounds that fits our available resources, our environment, and certainly our organizational structure. And hopefully one of the things that you'll take away today is that whatever model that you decide to create in your own organizations, that it's the right fit for your organization. However, despite these variations, I think it's also really important to remember that we are all using patient safety leadership walk-arounds to build and foster a culture of safety, ultimately build safer hospitals, as well as improve the safety of our patients. With that being said, I'm going to pass things over to Guna Bajrovics, who's going to share with you a little bit about our journey here at Sunnybrook with patient safety walk-arounds.
Thanks, Kathy, for giving us a bit of an brief background of walk-arounds in general. In these next few slides, I'd like to share some of the high-level learnings from our walk-around experiences here at Sunnybrook. Next. As Kathy had mentioned, we actually made the pilgrimage to Boston and spent two or three days with the group of patient safety team there at Brigham and Women's, and to see their actual process and some of the outcomes and the different ways some of their organizations are doing patient safety walk rounds. We came back knowing fully well that we would need to adjust some of our expectations, so we started working a model that would work here for us. Now, you'll find this perhaps rather difficult to read given the backgrounds, but the schema generally gives you an overview of how we expect a normal walk rounds event to play out. Many of these steps are probably relatively familiar to you. So I won't spend a great deal of time walking through all of them, but essentially it's a matter of contracting with a nursing unit or other geographical location to actually pull the team together and spend those 45 minutes together. We bring the senior leaders in, and within after having the focus group discussion, within about 48 to 72 hours, we expect the senior leader who attended to assign some of those priority issues to others in the organization who will, in fact, begin looking after the resolution phase. The corrective actions usually happen fairly quickly, or the initiation, I should say, and then it's checking in with the senior leader about every 5 to 7 days to let them know what's happening for those 3 to 4 priority issues. Once those priority issues have been addressed, then, of course, we get back to the patient care unit, the participants, and ensure that these things, in fact, have been taken care of within a reasonable time frame and meeting most of their expectations. Does that make sense? Does that sound like what most of you do? Our vision, of course, is to try to get these actions or an observable reaction to be delivered to the walk-around participants and the rest of the unit in a reasonable time frame, so that that trust of, okay, we talked about it, let's get on and start doing some of these things, in fact, is evident to the participants. I'd like to share with you some of the indicators that we're using to demonstrate how successful we are or are not in moving the Walk Rounds initiative forward. So you'll note that there are some priority issues. We have classified our issues in both priority and other issues that simply go into a larger database. We look at the turnaround times. We look at the identification of certain trends across all of the units. And we also make sure that we hear back from the participants as to how the whole process is, in fact, going for both the participants as well as the senior leaders. We've reflected a bit on some of our experiences in the last 3-4 years as we've been doing these. Clearly, that balance of the participants is quite critical in getting a really good yield in terms of what some of the issues are. So what we have found is when we have physicians at the table, when we have educators at the table, when we have other ward personnel such as the patient associates at the table, social workers and students, that's when the discussions become very rich and very meaningful. I don't think this is a surprise to anyone who's been doing these for a while that the environmental issues are one of the launching off points for many of the discussions. Another component that we find that's rather critical is being able to maximize that time that we have with frontline staff. And we've observed the importance of guiding that discussion in terms of objective and measurable observations. So we are constantly having to ask the question, so how many times has this happened on your unit in the last 3 months? Have you reported this in our incident reporting system? And of course, the very important part of listening to what is being said at the table. So there's a teasing and a structuring of that conversation that needs to happen that will help people in fact, give us the types of ideas around improvements so that they can be moved forward. Some of the next slides that I'm going to be showing you talk about those major themes that we've seen. And as I was thinking about some of these major themes, I felt like I was talking about a continuum. One end of the continuum is pure, an environment where patient safety is of the utmost priority and all systems and structures are aligned with that. And the other end of the continuum is something else. And so there's a constant struggle on where we are and how can we pull more and more of the patient safety priorities into the discussions that we're having. Communication between team members at all points of care and the infection prevention and control component has become increasingly difficult. So we're challenged by being able to turn over the rooms quickly enough. We're challenged to know whether or not this, what kind of precautions this patient needs in terms of as he or she moves through the system. And as we put more and more volume through all of our systems, we're finding that these handover points are becoming increasingly more important as we make sure that we work in a very safe and a very clean environment. So there's that piece that we hear over and over again. For those of you who work in larger organizations, we're finding that sharing the good learnings and ideas across a large, diverse operation is quite challenging. We find pockets of excellence everywhere we go, but it is a struggle to, in fact, spread that excellence across many other units. We also, as for those of you who have many different programs in your organizations, understand that there are cultural differences between an obstetrical program and a surgical program. And working in a large organization where we have seven of these strategic programs, we're finding that sometimes some programs simply find the importance, for instance, of standardization of protocols and practices, they see it differently. Another recurring theme that we have, we struggle with, is the need for balancing the patient's autonomy. In our organization, we like to think that we try to provide patient-focused care, but the reality is that patients' needs are sometimes challenged with your roommate's needs as well. And being a trauma center, we certainly see a fair amount of increasing aggressiveness and sometimes even violence that we need to balance between the safety of our patients, the safety of our staff. And so many of our findings, as we have done the walk-arounds, especially recently, have been focused around providing a little bit more structure around visiting hours, providing a lockdown security type of situation in the middle of the night for some of the units. This should be of no surprise to anyone, but aging facilities are not designed to provide particularly optimal patient safety situations. So we need to turn to people who can guide us into better ergonomic solutions, to people who have specialties in human factors training so that we can redesign some of the work processes so that they are more sleek, more easy for the caregivers to deliver. And looking at things such as engineering solutions, as well as the safe and secure storage of some of our materials. We certainly don't have enough space to store all the materials that we need, and we find that they're certainly not in places where the caregivers find that they need for them to be. And, of course, the design of space and furniture as we're dealing with older furniture and older space designs is certainly needs to constantly be revisited in order to leverage the patient safety component. And finally, some of our other findings show us that the amount of information that needs to be passed not only between caregivers but also between IT systems is a constant struggle for some of the caregivers in their ability to marry up both software, hardware, and information in terms of being able to always have the latest and the best information on the patient. In our most recent walk around, we were delighted to hear that our oncology program has in fact made great strides in being able to have patients come and visit for their ambulatory visits often and well, but for much of the blood work that is being done outside of our organization, it's difficult to get those results to our caregivers here at the ambulatory, at the Cancer Care Center. So once again, that's an IT piece that we need to address fairly soon. Some of the challenges in terms of process that we're looking at tightening up. One of them have to do with the seniors leaders' experience as patient safety advocates. All of our senior leaders, and we have 8 of them, 10 of them, who regularly do these, find that because they only do them once a year, we need to refresh them with all of the latest lingo. So as we go up onto the units, that we know that currently we're working very hard on our disclosure policy. So we want to make sure that we ask the patient care team whether or not they're disclosing appropriately. So we have a number of challenges in terms of making sure that our senior leadership is also speaking as one voice consistently across the entire organization. They are all engaged and engaged very deeply, but as individuals, clearly they have, many times they have their own interests at heart. Once again, of course, the environmental issues as well keep coming up over and over again. Throughout the process of having priority issues addressed, we find that we are inconsistent amongst the fixers, so it were, to in fact have these pieces of movement forward communicated to the patient care managers, to the participants. So, although we had adapted for quite some time Excel spreadsheets that we were sharing back and forth amongst the various players who were, in fact, addressing some of these priority issues, in fact, we're finding that that's probably, we have grown beyond that solution, and we'll talk in a moment about what we've done about that. These larger systemic pieces are very difficult to fix. So on the one hand, parts of the organization are trying to get us good deals in terms of mattresses, but once the hundreds of mattresses show up, where to store them and how to store them safely on each unit suddenly becomes a problem. So once again, working between the entire system to try to find good solutions at a local level can sometimes be quite difficult. And then in terms of simply finding and knowing who to turn to in order to fix some of these issues, most of you are probably work and live in a very growing and organic type of an environment, and so sometimes it is difficult to locate exactly who the right arm of the organization is to address some of these issues, and they are rarely just one person, one action that needs to be taken. Many of these are multi-level type of fixes that need to be addressed. So what are we doing in terms of our next chapter and how we're moving forward? We're very proud to announce that we've engaged RL Solutions to help us with coming up with a new and what we hope will be a very dynamic way of handling the communications and the reporting component of patient safety walk-arounds. Marianne Ritchie is here today. I'm sure she'd be happy to talk to you about what that looks like. Unfortunately, we don't have the screens ready here so that you could have a look at them, but we are working with RL Solutions to come up with a better way of managing that complex and very fast communication that has to happen so that walk-arounds are perceived to be an effective way of inculcating patient safety into the organization. Just in the past month, we've actually had a board member come and spend time during a patient safety walk-around. I think both the teams were incredibly honored to have board members come and pay attention to their frontline issues, and equally the board member certainly expressed her amazement at how effectively and how insightful the participants were in terms of patient safety activity. I would strongly suggest that people engage in this type of a next step. It is very informative on all sides and builds a great deal of respect between two arms of the organization who rarely have an opportunity to meet face to face. We've been incredibly fortunate, once again, because our senior leaders are so engaged with this, to actually obtain special funding to address some of these smaller issues that come up. We do let most of the teams know that we will not be building them a new wing. We will not be getting them new staff. But to fix lips in showers, certainly there is money for that, and that we see as a tremendous voice at our senior table to say that patient safety is, in fact, very, very important at that frontline level. And last but not least, another component we found very useful is, in fact, not just focusing on nursing units per se, but also in many diagnostic areas or in areas where there is not the intensity of care that's given sometimes at the bedside. So this is an opportunity where all the systems from different units all come together. And when we did, for instance, patient safety walk-arounds in a medical imaging unit, we found once again issues around how are we doing in terms of our IPC protocols and those sorts of things. So it helps us in making those connections when you do walk-arounds in places where many different programs and teams come together. So here's an interesting challenge for all of us. We know that when we ask teams, do patients and families voice any safety concerns, you get the odd, oh yes, they've told us that it's too noisy or it's this or that. But I think when we start asking the patients and their families themselves, what are your concerns in terms of your own safety and the safety of your family, I'm sure we're going to get quite a different set. And quite a different list of concerns and issues. So we're looking forward to learning from some other organizations who may have, in fact, brought in patients and their families into this walk-arounds discussion. And as a final note, I'll be curious to learn whether anyone has, in fact, provided their senior leaders with any other information in terms of moving the agenda forward for making improvements in the system. We know that at Sunnybrook we are encouraging a lot of our patient care units to increase their reporting of incidents. So we'd like very much to see whether or not arming our senior leaders with summary reports prior to their going to the walk-arounds might, in fact, help that tension to be a little bit more, be a little bit more of a dialogue. And the other component is whether or not there's any opportunity for us within each of our LINs to share some of these findings and see whether or not there's some opportunities to leverage some of these system level improvements, such as discharging to other facilities, working with the CCACs, working with our rehab organizations in order to transfer our patients in a more safe and effective manner. I'd like to thank you very kindly for coming today, and I certainly look forward to hearing about all of the other experiences. Thank you.
Be sure to check out the rest of this series right here on Longwoods Radio. Thanks for listening.